That's a brilliantly acrobatic save.
Xhaka's corner, Giroud!
Wow, they're starting with an attacking play on the second half. Just as the ball kicks off, DJ Sticks running with the ball. DJ Sticks passes DJ Stones. Wow, DJ Stones runs past Lionel Messi. Runs past Cristiano Ronaldo. Passes to Fernandinho. Fernandinho passes back to DJ Stones. DJ Stones takes a shot and he misses. But DJ Sticks is there for the rebound and he hits it in. And wow! That right there, ladies and gentlemen, is classic play. And this is the VAR show.
Welcome everybody.
Welcome, welcome
to another exciting, exciting installment of the
VAR
show. With your host that does the most, even when he's making toast, the one, the only DJ Stones. And with me here,
the host who does not boast, because he knows that he's from the West Coast, because it's cool, like the ocean. The young player of the season, every season, DJ Sticks.
Yeah, and you are listening to the VAR show right here.
On Active FM.
Where radio
has never
been
better.
Yeah, I just did a dab.
Okay, nice.
I just
okay,
did
me
a
too.
Dab.
Let me join you in the dab.
Hell yeah. Before we continue with anything else, let us go and enjoy.
It's true.
Yeah.
Change. I want you to be gay.
What a track.
What a jam.
What a jam.
Jam Ali. That used to be a show here in South Africa. It used to be a nice show. Jam Ali.
Nice.
No, yeah. Nice. Yeah.
It is very
Anyway, do you know what time is it?
What time is it?
It's time for the weekend.
Weekend Roundup. Baby. Pew. Jam-packed weekend.
All the sound effects play at once.
Okay. Let's go.
Okay, go in.
Jam-packed weekend. We saw some interesting games.
We saw some very interesting games.
We saw Liverpool win a cup. Liverpool winning the cup.
The main cup.
Liverpool winning the EFL trophy. Biggest trophy in the whole of England, just in case you didn't
biggest,
know.
Biggest, you know. Yeah, especially when City doesn't win it.
Yeah.
They won the City Cup.
The City Cup.
I mean the Carabao Cup.
The Carabao Cup. And they beat Chelsea in the process. I wasn't too happy about the game. It ended up in a penalty shootout. Expected more.
You know, I feel like this might be too harsh, you know. You know, as a keeper, you have one job.
One job.
You know?
You do.
You don't run around the pitch.
Yeah.
Your job is to stay in line and save balls, you know?
Okay.
And they did that very well during the match. You know, there were some pretty nice saves from both sides.
Yes.
But I feel like the biggest test now comes in penalties, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to penalties, that's your moment to shine.
That's the place.
That's the place for you to shine.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, 10 penalties go past you and 11 penalties go past you. And in fact, the 11th penalty was not even a save. It was a miss. You know, that gets me wondering, you know?
You know, what's happening?
What's happening?
You know?
And I guess it speaks volumes in itself, you know. I'm not judging it. A penalty is obviously a hard time. We've spoken about it before with, you know, young players being in penalty shootouts. It's not easy. There's a lot of pressure.
It's very daunting.
Especially when you're playing a cup game, you know.
A final,
you know, especially if you're taking, if you're at keeper's position and you're taking the last penalty.
Yeah.
But as a goalkeeper, you know, you should be level-headed at all times.
And you should be knowledgeable of the place where you, like the easiest place to place, you know.
Yeah, like you know, especially when it came to the last penalty. So for those who don't know, it ended up 0-0, went to penalties, and it was like, 10-11 in penalties, meaning that it went down to the goalkeepers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the Liverpool keeper, I don't know his name, to their second keeper.
Yeah.
When he stepped up, I literally knew where his penalty was going. I knew where...
It was obvious.
It's obvious because he's not a penalty taker.
Yeah. So you can tell.
He is not comfortable taking penalties.
Mm-hmm.
So he will probably take the safe option. The safe option is going to be on his strong foot going opposite direction.
Yeah.
Because he won't be able to place himself properly to go straight, you know, strong foot straight, meaning that if he's right footed, hitting the right side of the net.
Yeah.
No, his most comfortable thing would be hitting left side of the net using his right foot.
That's the obvious one.
It's the obvious one.
Opening up your body is tough.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm going to go.
Yeah.
And Kepa dived the opposite direction. I was like, come on, Kepa. I know there's pressure, but this is 1-on-1. You're more likely. It's not a gamble here.
Yeah.
If it was a gamble, there's 70% chance he's going to shoot on his strong foot. And we saw what happens, because Kepa then tried to shoot down the middle, but added too much power, and it just floated over. It looked like he was distributing the ball. You
goal
know?
Kick, you know what I mean?
As we call it this side, he was servicing the ball.
Pulisic!
Giving so somebody Pulisic a long then. Run. So he saw somebody in the fans with the Chelsea t-shirts like, I have to give that guy the ball. You know, and that's the thing. And if you look at the goalkeeper for Liverpool, if you look where he dived, it was the left side, and he was anticipating that
Kepa
was going to shoot across, and Kepa knew that. So that's why he tried to shoot down the middle, because that's the second easiest position to shoot from, down the middle,
safest as well.
Yes, but again, like I said, it's not comfortable. It's not normal.
Yeah.
So he then misses it. That's too much power.
Mm.
Because as easy as penalty seems, there's a whole form to it. It's not just a you walk up and then you shoot. You have this body positioning. There's a whole training behind it.
It's a science.
Yeah.
And Chelsea took the L. And I think that leads us to our main topic. Because Chelsea is involved in our main topic, isn't it?
Yeah. Wait, before that, I just need to rant a bit. I need to rant a bit. I have enough time to rant. You know, it's going to be a 30-minute rant in the main topic.
Okay. Okay.
Cool. United versus Watford.
Go. Shoot.
22 shots on target. I mean, 22 shots taken. 3 on target.
No way.
3.
No, what kind of conversion rate is that?
What is going on in that team? What is actually going on? For 10 marks, can somebody explain to me right now what's going on in that team?
There was this chance where I think Bruno should have passed Ronaldo. He was free.
And he shot.
He shot.
I think that's a big thing with Bruno. Like, I understand, take your chances, especially when you're like, you know, you must take his chances. Especially when we're playing a team that goes a defensive position of 4-4-2, you know? Mm. When they start having four at the back, four at the mid, like, they probably drop a striker or an extra midfielder down, and then it becomes, so now they have numbers in the box. And obviously, taking your shots is a very key thing. But there are key passes. There was a pass chain that happened with Elanga, you know? And that opened up the defense big time. He missed the shot, you know? He was supposed to shoot across. He tried to just fit it into the corner there.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, you know. We're not working the ball into the box.
Yeah.
We've become such a counter football team that it's actually hard for us to build our play.
Eesh.
It's hard for us to break down defense.
And put the ball on the floor.
You know, we have to. We make chances on breaks. We make chances by crosses,
yeah.
You know, and it's
and
a
you're
problem.
Good at that, though. You're good at
and
that.
And the problem is, and this is why we have a 25-minute football team, is that first half we'll play fantastic football,
yeah,
but then second half it's predictable. So they close down the wings, and you're watching this game, and you're like, pass the center. There's so much space in the center. Yes, we can distribute it back in the wing, but let Pogba carry the ball. He has so much space. You see a square pass all the way across, and you're like,
throw in.
What are you doing?
Throw in.
Not even throw in. Like, to pass it to go from Shaw to Wan-Bissaka.
What?
Wan-Bissaka to Shaw. Or to go Wan-Bissaka, Pogba, Shaw. And you're like, Pogba, no, run at the ball. You have so much space.
Go forward. Let's go.
And it's built in, you know. And look, we can't blame Ragnick. Maybe it's Ragnick's, what's it called? Strategy, right? But then I remember there was a press conference by Lampard, and he's like, the thing he's trying to drive out of Everton right now is that when they're being pressed, they try just playing long balls to see if they go around the press. And it's like, that doesn't work. And so that shows that what was pre-built in the team is still standing. And that's what the coach has to break. And now I don't know how receptive United is to break it, because that's how they've been for 3 years. You're telling them, I know you've been like this for 3 years, but break it.
But break it fast. Top four, but we got top four playing like this.
You know? But that's the thing. That will get you fourth in top fourth. That will get you third in top fourth. But that's not going to win you leagues. That's not going to win you. Counter football will not win you championships. It's a fact. It will just make you survive.
It's not dependable.
Look at the teams that don't play aggressive football. That just play on the counter.
Leicester.
They don't win things.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the past 5 years.
Spurs.
look at Spurs. Look at the past 5 years. Name me the top two teams and tell me how they play.
They don't play. So City obviously doesn't play counter.
Liverpool doesn't play counter.
They can counter you, but
they play aggressive football. They're always on you. They're breaking your defense down. They're passing the ball around. They're moving the ball. Yeah. They're having critical 1-2s that allows Salah to make a specific run. Salah doesn't cross.
No.
He goes all the way to the byline, runs all the way where he can almost physically touch the pole, and then he'll pass it in. You know? They're literally making runs to break your defense.
Yeah.
When they're hitting long balls, it's not just a hopeful ball.
No, it's a cross from Trent.
There's runs.
It's a cross from Trent.
You look at the Chelsea versus Liverpool game that happened. And what do you notice? How many offsides were there? You know, because the through balls they're giving are not purposeless. There's a run. They're aware of the run.
Oh, interesting.
They're not just passing down the side. And it's annoying. I guess it's even annoying from the point of view we're watching from. Because we're watching this thing.
Yeah.
You know, we're watching this
thing. You're like, why?
So we're seeing it from a top view. So you're seeing Ronaldo trying to make a run.
Yeah.
And they don't acknowledge the run. Or they look up and then they pass sideways. And you're like, why didn't you give him the run? You see Pogba trying to make runs. He'll pass and then run around a defender, and then there's no return ball. And the times they do it, it's deadly. Like so the Langa thing.
Why don't you do more?
As soon as they returned it. But I guess it's Langa. Built in. It's built in that we play counter football. We get it to the side. We get the crosses in. We get it to the side. We get the crosses in. We get it to the side. We get the crosses in. And that's the issue with United right now. Because counter football doesn't work against... That's why against small teams. That's why with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, we were good against big teams. We had City's number.
I know you did.
We couldn't beat the Burnleys, the Watfords, the Newcastles, the teams that don't want 3 points, they want 1 point. So the only time they're going to play attacking towards you is if you score. If you're not scoring, they don't need to play attacking. You're losing more than us. You need 3 points. We need one.
Against you, one is fine.
You know, and that's the issue. You look at United, you look at Man City against Spurs. They played attacking football to the end.
Spurs was killing, man.
You look at who did City play this weekend?
It was Brighton.
Look at City against Brighton. Wasn't Brighton. Because they won 1-0. It was a big... It was Tottenham, not Tottenham.
It was Everton.
It was Everton.
It was Everton, sorry.
They played attacking. They didn't play counter. They played proper attacking football. They played the ball. They allowed the midfielders to hold the ball. They allowed the midfielders to move the ball. Yeah. Our midfielders are just a connection between our two sides. And that's an issue.
It needs to be Bruno.
You know?
Pogba.
And selling or loaning out players like Van de Beek. And even now, Martial is a bit of a problem. Because we're struggling to get the ball into the box. You look at Van de Beek with Everton. He's such a baller. Class. Class player.
Yeah.
And now the problem is Bruno's off form in the past two games. You know, who do we replace him with?
That's the thing, though.
That's the question. You know, Chelsea, they're performing very well because they're playing attacking football. And talking about Chelsea, let's go to our main topic
of the day.
So this is big, you know, because Chelsea's owner, Abramovich.
Yes.
He hasn't made like press releases, you know, not even with Chelsea's press. There's no interview with Abramovich, you know.
Abramovich is off the grid.
He's off the grid. You see him at matches, you know. You see him at cup finals. And now a statement has come out where basically what's happened is that due to this whole Ukraine, Russian situation, which is very serious. It's a very, very serious matter.
It's a very sad matter.
It's a very sad matter. People are losing their lives. And it's very, very horrible.
Yeah.
I normally say something controversial, but because of the seriousness of this matter, I will not.
Yeah.
I shall not.
Yeah.
And so Abramovich has decided to, obviously there was a backlash to him from the British government, you know. They were speaking about the fact that he's one of the enablers of Putin in Russia. You know, he's one of his biggest beneficiaries, and he has ties to
Putin. He's involved.
You know, and it's not fair that we sanction the country and we don't sanction him. Which is also a debate for another day.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so what he's done is that he's put the stewardship, not the ownership, a big difference. So the owner is still Abramovich.
Yeah,
but the people who are going to run the day-to-day of the club is going to be the charity foundation.
So that's temporarily?
Yes, that's temporary. So the stewardship, the running of the club, until whenever, is going to be put under...
The overseeing?
Yes, will be put under the charity foundation. Mm-hmm. Chelsea Charity Foundation.
I see.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And now, the issue is that people have is like, okay, no, but he still... owns the club. They're like, he shouldn't be allowed to own a club in England.
Ooh,
you know?
Ooh.
And now, is where it becomes funny, you know? And look, I'm not for Russia here. I'm not saying what Russia is doing is good.
No, it's not.
I'm not saying what Russia is doing is bad.
Yeah.
You know? While it is bad, people are dying. Yeah. The war is, I'm not for war. The war should stop. Mm-hmm. I stand with everyone who says the war should stop.
The war should stop.
And the thing here is, how is it that we fine with a Saudi Arabian prince who's killing people, you know, killing journalists, who is, you know, doing so many human rights violations, but we're like, yeah, no, we can't see that because, you know, we're getting a lot of money from him.
Mm.
But yet we are happy to take in this war criminal who's killing people and violating human rights.
Mm.
You know, for me, it's double standard here.
It is.
Because as bad as it is taking over a nation, you know, it's also as bad to belittle a woman. It's as bad as, have you seen the what happens to the, to foreign labor in that country?
No.
In Qatar, where the World Cup is being held. You spoke about how many people have died.
Mm.
Now, should Russia be sanctioned? Should Abramovich be sanctioned? 100%. They should be. This is horrible.
But,
you know, I'm with the fact that they're saying that all the away games that's supposed to happen in Russia shouldn't take place. In fact, I would go as far as all Russian teams should immediately, forfeit their games. That's as far as I would go. Yeah. As just as it is, it doesn't matter. And, that's pressure.
And the final, the UEFA final.
Yeah, no, the UEFA final has been removed from them.
Yeah.
It's not happening in, I forgot the place. It's not Lisbon. It's happening in France. In Paris.
Mm.
And I'd go as far as removing them from the World Cup. And yes, does this do anything? You know, Putin came out after they removed the World Cup finals. Not the World Cup, the UEFA Champions League finals. And he said, it's too bad. Like, oh, well, too bad.
What?
But this now puts, and I would put further on bans on their football team, you know? Because this needs to put pressure because conversations need to start happening and saying, hey, dude, this is happening.
The Russian Football Association needs to get involved. And
you know? And this would also bring awareness to the people inside who are being fed propaganda.
Mm.
But equally, this needs to be happening to places like Qatar, Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Because human rights violations are taking place.
And no one's looking.
China is doing something very similar to Hong Kong, where before their time, they are attacking Taiwan. They're trying to take over Taiwan. They're having an unnecessary influence in Taiwan.
Mm.
They want to do the same thing Hong Kong. The first one was for Hong Kong, not Taiwan. They want to take over Taiwan now. So they're taking what they're doing now, what the statement I said before, it was Hong Kong, not Taiwan. The statement now is for Taiwan, as in they want to take over Taiwan. But their team is still playing World Cup qualifiers.
Mm.
Chinese members who are tied at the CCP, their companies are still allowed to own football clubs.
That's not cool.
And I feel like this should be set as a standard. That if a country does this, this is football's response to a country. And any country that does it, these sanctions need to be put upon them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that is true. I 100% agree with that statement.
You know?
Yeah, no.
Football is for the people, and if the people's lives are being affected, football should not be given well to that country.
Because I bet you now, almost all of the Ukrainian players aren't well.
They're not well. Like, I'm seeing Zinchenko. Like, Zinchenko's tweet, it was pulled down. Like, even with that, it was pulled down. Because he says he never took it down.
What?
And I have a problem with that, you know?
Mm.
I have a huge problem with that because he is voicing out against an injustice.
He has a right to.
He
has the right to.
I love what Pep said. He's like, how would you feel waking up knowing that the country of your birth is being invaded? Imagine what's going through your mind. You have family there.
Friends.
You have friends you grew up with there.
Loved ones there. Yeah. Imagine schools. The school you were in.
Teachers that taught you.
Bonds there, man.
You know, the first football club you probably played for is there.
Flip.
And now you're telling this guy, no, just be fine, you know. Just be fine.
The kids will look
post
up to
that.
You.
Can't post that. And I saw, I don't even think he played the last game.
No,
he was devastated. Like every time the pen shots at the bench, you literally see this guy wants to cry.
The game is affected, man.
You know, when
life is affected.
When he came into the stadium, and obviously there was all that thing that the Everton supporters did, you know, to show support.
Yeah.
It put him to tears.
Grown man.
You know, grown man. Mm. And the thing is, you know, like, yes, you see some effort from it. Like, I loved what the Norwegian team did when they came up with their whole t-shirt about not supporting the World Cup in Qatar because of the human rights violations.
Yeah.
But we need to, like, if football wants to correct social injustice, we need to start correcting it in all spheres. We can't just pick and choose.
Depending on money and other criteria.
Look, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to be specific with this because of how serious it is. I'm black. That's my ethnicity.
Yeah.
You know why I'm pointing this out? For my statement. The fact that we're still kneeling for Black Lives Matter and this whole racial thing, but we aren't standing up for the people who are being persecuted and being killed inside Saudi Arabian countries. That bothers me because their lives matter.
Yeah, they do.
And football is for all.
Mm.
It's not for the people that give us the most money. What happened with the whole thing of the Super Cup? Not the Super Cup. What is that UEFA thing called?
The Super League.
The Super League. What were we saying? Football is for the people, by the people. Football was started by the working class and is not going to be taken by the global elites. But yeah, people are literally throwing money at UEFA, throwing money at FIFA. The amount of scandals that are in for this Qatar World Cup and that are not being investigated is crazy.
Mm. Mm.
But, you know, I can't see that one, eh? We're not going to look at that one. You know, it's Qatar. It's
turn a blind eye.
Turn a blind eye to that. You know, I think I spoke about it before. There was a UEFA Champions League that happened. I forgot where now. So I think somewhere in Turkey or close. And literally, there was a Europa Finals. And literally, two players from the one team, I think it was two players from Arsenal and one player from Chelsea, or two players from Chelsea, couldn't go because their lives would have been in under threat.
What?
And that country is known for attacking the country those people are from. I'm like, why is it being allowed there? What unity are you trying to show here?
What the heck? You shouldn't even deserve to go to the stadium then.
You know? Why are we allowing this level of sports washing to happen? So what, when this Ukraine thing blows over and now Russia wants to have a good name, they go buy freaking Tottenham and we'll be fine with it. We're like, oh yeah, you know, we're going to forget about Ukraine.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like, and look, our thoughts is not going to help them build a wall against Russia. Yeah. I understand that. And it's all great that we show their support to build their morale. And I understand that, you know, us, you know, like us taking a knee for Black Lives Matter is not going to change somebody from being a racist. They're not going to see Rashford taking a knee and think, you know what, I need to, we get that. But it's showing support. It's showing that everybody on the pitch supports the fact that Black Lives Matter. You know, I understand that what we're doing when we're showing Ukraine flags is for support. You know, which is very important to help the civilians that are there to see that there's a whole world backing them. And I'm for these. We need to take more action. We need to take more action. We need to start isolating them from the world society.
Yeah.
Football wise. Until this thing gets sorted. And look, I don't believe in punishing the individuals. So I'm not saying if there's a Russian player in your team, kick them out.
No.
By no means. Let them play. You know? I'm just saying, as a country, they should not be allowed to perform in a global scale. World Cup should be gone.
Mm.
UEFA Champions League, that's a discussion now. Where do we go from this? What is the team's belief? What is their actual belief? And we tell these teams to actually put out a statement to go against what's happening.
You know, out, man.
And I understand there's probably a huge threat from that. But there needs to be some sort of way we know where they stand. Because we can't allow this level of sport washing to show. Or in fact, allow them to air the games. You know, actually, in fact, allow them to play. Allow them to air those games to Russian. And then that's where the support stuff come out and where we speak about it. So the people who are listening to propaganda can hear the truth.
Mm.
Things like this need to be discussed, you know?
No, they do. They do.
And I feel like I've just ranted.
No. That's how it should be, though. The VAR show isn't for what's happening.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Football should do more than just just minutes of silence in the beginning of a game. You know what I mean?
We need to put pressure. Us as fans, fans have power.
They do. We do.
And we need to be putting pressure on UEFA to take more action. We need to put. We need to say we're not going to Qatar unless this thing is sorted.
Exactly.
Unless Russia, if Russia is there, I'm not going to Qatar. That needs to be a movement.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no to Qatar.
No to Qatar. Mm. We really don't like the fact that Qatar has the World Cup. Mm. I'm probably not going to even watch the World Cup there. You know, but we need to show them that we're serious about it. Well, maybe we missed our chance because it's now the year of we can't move the whole World Cup to somewhere else. It's too late.
Yeah, it's too late.
But we can do something about the Russia and Ukraine situation.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's a small input, it's better than no input.
Exactly. That's all we're out for. No,
you know? So if you're a fan, you go hashtag, say no to Russia. Russia out of World Cup. You know?
Yes.
Let's get these things trending.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Say World Cup Argentina 2023.
Wait, why? Why are we moving into Argentina? No, Messi is not getting a home advantage. South Africa part two, you know? With our lowest crime rates during that time. I think I want to bring it back.
Oh, yeah, 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 man.
You know, South Africa part two, let's go.
I'm planning on buying new gadgets next year.
Yeah, you know?
Maybe a car, so... so
you know, let's
World
go.
Cup would let me keep my car for some time.
Thank you, Mr. World Cup. And on that lighter note, from me, the one, the only, the Ballon d'Or winner of the VAR show, DJ Stones.
And me, the Puskás Award winner, the Lifetime Achievement winner, and the two-time Ballon d'Or winner of the VAR show, DJ Sticks.
We are signing out.
Goodbye.
Active FM is everywhere. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Gab, and so much more. See all the fun posts, get involved in the interesting discussions. Voice your opinions and get the updates by following us on social media.